198. In the wild? Wilds, okay. There's a course that must be finished. There's a race that must be run. There's a mission to accomplish and a battle to be won. We've been called to take the challenge by God's might and through His Son. He will give us grace to complete the race, moving forward, pressing on towards the hope of our high calling, toward the promise we've received. With the strength that we've been given, pressing on to victory and toward the one who's run before us, as we lay each weight aside, till the race is run, till the prize is won, till we reach the finish line. Press on. There's a faithful cloud of witnesses who inspire us in our task. They have fought the fight, they have run the race, they have won the crown at last. And the lives they've lived remind us, though the race at times seems long, God will give us grace to complete the race and the courage to press on towards the hope of our high calling, toward the promise we've received. With the strength that we've been given, pressing on to victory and toward the one who's run before us, as we lay each weight aside, till the race is run, till the prize is won, till we reach the finish line. Press on. I think we have time for one more, if anybody wants it. Yes, sister. This is my father's world. 39 in the hymnal. After this, we'll have our memory verse for this month, and then the announcements to follow.
Is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world. Shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Thank you for your singing, everyone. Can we now go over this month's memory verse? In the lead up to Easter, we've been going over Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, I believe. Yes, verse number 5. So we'll say the reference, the chapter, the verse, and then the verse, and we'll go through it twice. Okay. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Once more. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. I think you will have the announcements now. Very good evening to you all. A few announcements to reiterate from this morning. First of all, there's a men's Bible study coming up on the 18th of March, so this coming Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m., so do bear that one in mind. On the Sunday, the 29th of March, we'll be having a fellowship lunch after church, so pizzas and drinks will be provided. Please bring a salad or dessert to share, or you don't really have to bring anything. But your fellowship will be greatly appreciated. So if you can stay, that's the Sunday, the 29th of March. And then looking to the Easter service. So on Easter Sunday, we'll be having an early morning service, breakfast to follow that, and then our regular 10 a.m. service. So the morning service will be at 7 a.m., followed by the fellowship breakfast, and then we'll be having the normal 10 a.m. service. But importantly, no evening service on that Easter Sunday. So this service won't happen on Easter Sunday, so please do bear that one in mind. As usual, if you have a prayer request that you would like to be mentioned, please text the pastor before the service, or you can place your request in the prayer box at the back. Couple of announcements from this morning. So first of all, pray for Wendy Casamatis and the Casamatis family down in Mackay. So Wendy is looking to having a pretty big surgery that will keep her in the hospital for up to a week. So just pray for her. Pray for the doctors for wisdom. Of course, pray for her husband, Arthur, and the kids and the family. Just pray for them. Pray the Lord keeps Wendy safe during that surgery. Pray for Mrs. Coughlin. She's having heart issues today. So just pray for her. Continue to keep her in your prayers. Pray for Sister Evelyn. She's traveling for a funeral this coming Wednesday. Pray also for her son, Malachi, his salvation, and various other things. Pray for Sister Spora. She has an eye surgery on Wednesday. Pray for her sister's daughter as well. And she's not well and is also in need of prayer. And our usual prayer requests there on the bulletin. Pray for Daryl, for Deb Hager, for Phoebe and her health with her broken arm. Pray for Sister Opone and her health. Pray for Brother Ted and his health as he's in hospital. Pray for Evelyn's neighbors as well. There was, Pastor, an announcement regarding the bread ministry. Is that? So the second and the fourth Saturdays, just our usual folks won't be able to continue that. So if anyone is available to help with that ministry, that'll be greatly appreciated. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have our service. Let's pray. Dear gracious Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening and to sing praises to your name and to listen to your word preached, Lord. We thank you for the wondrous salvation that we have in Christ, and we thank you for your Spirit and its power in our lives. May you help us throughout this week now as we go ahead. May you help us to overcome our trials, our tribulations, whatever this week has in store for us, Lord. May we always be depending on your grace, and help us to live faithfully. Help us to be enriched, invigorated, and ready to take on the week ahead. Lord, would you nourish us with your word? As we saw this morning, Lord, the importance of having the Bible be central to our faith. And Lord, we know that the people in our lives, our spiritual elders, like Paul was to Timothy, won't always be there. But Paul found comfort in the fact that Timothy had the scriptures with him. And Lord, we have easy access to your word on our phones and in our minds as we memorize scripture. Lord, would you help us to find comfort in your word, help us to find strength in it, and help us to find refuge, Lord, from all of the attacks from Satan, from the world, all of its temptations. May we see Christ, and may we see you, Lord, as more valuable than these things. I just pray for the service. I pray that you give the pastor much strength and grace as he preaches your word. Lord, would you help us to listen attentively, and would you help your word to flourish in our hearts, in our lives. I do pray, Lord, for these prayer requests that were mentioned. Several folks in need of prayer, Lord. I do pray for Evelyn and her travels to this funeral that she's attending. Would you give her much grace, and would you allow her to minister to the people there, Lord, but also her son, Malachi, and just his salvation, his the work that Evelyn does in his life in ministering your word. Would you just continue to work in his heart and bring him to a saving faith? And Lord, for all of those who she ministers to, and of course, all of those who we minister to as well, Lord, in the church, would you just work in folks' hearts to bring them to repentance? I do pray, Father, for Wendy and the Casamatis family. We do pray and ask that you give the doctor's grace through Wendy's surgery, and that you would allow the procedure to go well, and that you would allow her to recover well as well, Lord. We just ask that your grace be with her and them down in there in Mackay. Lord, we do also pray for Sister Sephora and any health needs that she has at the upcoming surgery. I just pray that you give her much grace. Lord, for those who are sick in the church, we do remember the Phelan family and the babies and Matt and Katie. You just bring them to health. And of course, look after Katie as she is due to give birth to baby number 3 very soon. We do ask that you help her and just give her the grace that she needs, and Matt as well. We do pray for Lachlan. He's away right now. Just ask that you give Kirsty and the kids most grace, and him, of course, Lord. And for any of us who are sick in the church, we do ask, with the flu going around, that you bring them to health. Be with the pastor, Lord, as he is unwell. Just give him the strength that he needs. Just with all the folk in need right now. Just thank you for your great faithfulness. I commit this time to you, and I ask that you bless in the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Got some pomelos. I don't have them, but Alan brought them for us all. So if you'd like to have it, am I saying that correctly? I'm doing all right? Yep, so pomelos in the back. So if you'd like to have one, not to throw at me. Don't get it until after the sermon, okay? So after the sermon, you can get that. So if you'd like to have some, there's some in the back. So keep that in mind. And it's good to have Savannah with us tonight, visiting for our first time. Hope you can come back again and again. So thank you for being here. Going to ask you to turn to two different places tonight. Back to 2 Timothy. We'll look there for just a minute or two, and then we're going to go to the first. Your first one won't be hard. So Genesis chapter 1, so you can find your place there. And Genesis chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's last letter that he writes to Timothy. And he says this in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, not just some. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Then he begins the next one with a charge, and he says in verse 2, "Preach the word." So because it's so powerful, preach the word. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. You're going to say, what in the world? Well, we'll draw them all together in a little bit. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the creation story. Now, no one was there. Sometimes my religious instruction kids sort of think I'm about that old, that I've been around that long because I look so much older than they are. But no one was there. The Lord is telling us this account. He's telling us what happened. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, if you can imagine the darkness, the emptiness everywhere, in verse number 3, God said, he spoke, his words said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning were the second day. God said again in verse number 9, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. So we'll stop there. That's enough. And tonight, I want to talk to you about the importance of reading our Bible from cover to cover. And tonight, I'm not necessarily telling us how or recommending a way to do your devotions, your daily Bible study. You can do that a lot of different ways. It's best, I really believe, if you do it in a systematic way. If you're going to go through the Gospel of John, don't do chapter 1 today and chapter 16 tomorrow, and then go back to chapter 3 and then chapter 8 and then back to chapter 2. So it's probably best to do it in a systematic way. And I'm not saying that you have to get through. I think someone did it to where that if you read your Bible 4 chapters a day, starting on 1st of January, that you'll finish 26th of October. You'll have completely read through your Bible. And I'm not necessarily on a reading plan at all. I'm not. That's not where I'm going tonight. But I am going to emphasize the point of how important is the Old Testament to us. How important is the Old Testament to us? So I have a quiz. Isn't that something you have to come to get, you guys that are in school, you have to get quizzed at church too. Here we go. All right. How many times did Jesus quote the Old Testament? So the word Old Testament is going to be shortened to OT a lot, and the words New Testament will be shortened to NT a lot tonight. So how many times did Jesus quote the Old Testament? If anyone knows that, you just got me. Good job. How many times did Jesus refer to the Old Testament without necessarily quoting it? So in his teachings, how many times did he allude to some fact or something that's written there? He may have not quoted the verse exactly, but how many times did he quote it, if at all? And then the last one is, how many times did the Apostle Paul or John or Peter refer to the Old Testament? Now, I could have used Luke and in Acts, and I could have done Jude as well, and the writer of Hebrews as well. The writer of Hebrews, I think, is Paul, but I left him out of that. But how many times did these guys quote the Old Testament? So let's go back and do our answers now. First thing, how many times did Jesus quote the Old Testament? About 80 times. So it's really actually 78 times, but about 80 times. How many times did Jesus refer to the Old Testament without necessarily quoting it? Scholars say between 250 and 280 times. So just in what we have recorded, he referred to Old Testament scriptures between 250 and 280 times. You'll remember the amount of times it has been said, or it was said when he would say those kind of things. And then how many times did Paul, John, and Peter refer to the Old Testament? Well, Paul, 173, John, 255, and Peter, in his short two books, 30 times, which equals total 428. So have you ever had a friend to say, do you remember in such and such book, in chapter 3, and they start going into great detail, and you've never read the book, and they're telling with great excitement about what's happened, and they're expecting you to remember, and you're thinking, I don't know this story at all. Well, that's kind of what happens when our New Testament writers, when they write about the Old Testament, and we don't know the background. We don't know the background. And some of the times, it's great, Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, you think, now those are some of the, how many think Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers are some of the hardest Old Testament reading in the world? I say that with like six hands up. But yet, that's what they quoted from. That's what they quoted from. That's what they went to. And so, even though it can be hard reading, and I do not deny that. So, our message tonight is the importance of our reading the Bible from cover to cover. I remember some folks visiting at one time. They visited, and I think we were going through the book of Daniel. And it got back to me later that they suggested that I was not a pastor because I was not preaching from the New Testament. All preaching must be from the New Testament. And I think this verse sort of puts me at rest with that. It says, all Scripture, every bit of it, is given by inspiration of God. And that does not mean, as we talked about this morning, that does not mean that it's necessarily going to inspire us. It's not necessarily going to say, you can do it. That, not that kind of inspire, because sometimes Scripture points its finger right at you and says, thou art the man. But there's times where it's just exactly the strength you need. But the fact that it's inspired means that it comes from God's mouth. Just like in Genesis 1. That's why we looked at Genesis 1 today. God spoke. He spoke, and those things happened. That's the power of His Word. Sometimes I think we read Genesis 1, we read these other chapters, and we don't even think about, you know what? God spoke, and light appeared. That's just amazing. God spoke, and the animals came. All the different kinds. And He saw that it was good. So, His Word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for what we believe, for correcting us, for putting us on the right path, and for helping us keep going on the right path. That's what Scriptures are for. So, excuses often given for not reading the Old Testament. Why? What kind of excuses do we give? Well, the first one is the Old Testament is no longer relevant, or so say they, because we are now under the New Covenant. The Old Testament is no longer relevant because we are now under the New Covenant, the New Testament. But you know, there's so much more, and really the reference there is to the fact that they're talking about the law in comparison to the law. But yet, the law really didn't come in until when? Until Exodus, the middle of Exodus. And so you have all of these verses, you have all of these Bible stories that if that's going to be our excuse, that we're under the New Covenant now, what about all the things that happened beforehand? Like the creation story, that God created, and the comfort that we get from knowing that God created the world. How wonderfully comforting it is to know that He created the world and He's in control. It also tells us about when man fell into sin. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and to tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We don't read this story. We are wondering with everyone else in the world why in the world people are mean to one another. Why in the world are we dying? Why in the world? But if we've read this, it makes sense. Cain talked with his brother Abel, rose up and killed him. The first murder. Genesis 6:5, right before the flood, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 7, the great flood, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Can you imagine? I mean, we've had some hard rain over the last week or so, some, a little bit, at night. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like? The windows of heaven were open. It would have been a gully washer. Then the Tower of Babel, whichever way you say it, and they said, go to, let us make, build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. If we had just discarded the whole Old Testament, we would have discarded this. And then about Abraham. You discard the Old Testament, you miss out on Abraham. You miss out on Isaac. You miss out on Jacob. You miss out on Joseph. You miss out on the twins. You just miss out. And so time and time again, if we're not going to, if we're just going to ignore it because it's not the new covenant, then we're going to miss out. And sure, yes, we're under grace, and Jesus, he completely fulfilled the law perfectly for us. But even Paul said the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law itself. It's actually our schoolmaster, he says in verse 24 of Galatians. It's actually our schoolmaster to help us to understand that we need Christ, that we're not going to earn salvation for ourselves. Second thing, not only is it because some people think that because we're under the new covenant, but secondly, the Old Testament is filled with violence and war. I remember hearing someone tell of the story of Samson, and they comically said, now this is a Bible story. There's a lot of violence in the book of Judges. There's a lot of violence. I mean, you look at Judges chapter 19, where this Levite, I'll try to be careful here, where this Levi, he does just bad stuff. He sends a gift to everyone, a body part to every one of the tribes of Israel, and says, what are you going to do? Now, what would you do if you got a body part in the mail? Man, that's pretty intense, isn't it? And that's why some people say, there is some pretty intense stuff. Starts with, and to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You wouldn't even know death was in there unless you understood where he got the coats of skin from. He doesn't say, and God killed a lamb, or whatever the animal was. It's just understood. Next chapter, Cain talked with his brother Abel. He was upset that God had not taken received his offering. And he rises up and he kills his brother. And the Lord says, when Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? The Lord says, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. God was sensitive to the violence too. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord said, people are just too violent. People are too violent. He's aware. Genesis 34:30, when the brothers killed the person who had taken their sister. And then what about God judging? So this so far, all the verses I've shown you, it shows our sinfulness and people's sinfulness. We're sinful people. We, Cain, why he thought that, who knows. But he thought the best way to solve the problem he had with giving the wrong offering was to kill his brother. Now, how did that help? It did not. But that was his, it just shows our own sinfulness. Well, why did God allow the children of Israel to remove the Canaanites? Because the Canaanites, Genesis 15:16, says that the fourth generation they shall come, and this is after they've been in Egypt, and this is all those years later, 400 years later. Hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. The Amorites, the Lord gave them years and years and years. Here they were. They were doing child sacrifice. They were serving false gods. And God is just patiently waiting for them to turn. God is patiently waiting. And he says, okay, that's it. The land that you have right now, I'm going to give it to the children of Israel. So in Deuteronomy 7:6, he says, you know what, I'm past mercy. There's judgment. And really what that says is that he has the right to judge. The third thing is the Old Testament does not seem to condemn some behaviors that we think is unacceptable in society today. It doesn't condemn some behaviors that are unacceptable in society today. For example, when Abraham passed off his wife as his sister. Now, finally, one of the kings rebukes in a sort of a backwards way. But the Lord never says, Abraham, stop doing that. Not once. Lot's willingness to offer his daughters to the men in Sodom, and you know, without saying, you know, that his daughters, when Dad did that, can you imagine them? You said, what, Dad? You're willing to give us instead of them? Really? That was never said anything about. What about the multiple wives? How many wives did Solomon have? It's 1,000? 1,000 wives? Slavery? No, there was slavery in the New Testament too. Jonah's hatred? All these different kind of things. You know, but really, all these kind of things show us what? That people are sinful. That people are sinful, that even our heroes of faith don't always get it right. So reading the Bible from cover to cover, why should we? Just really quickly, three things. The New Testament writers, first of all, assumed that we would. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. The New Testament writers assumed that we would or that we had. Beginning with verse 26. It says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So they were just doing normal stuff. They were just doing normal stuff. They were just eating. They were just eating, you know, they were having relationships. They were eating tea and whatever. They were just doing normal stuff. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. So he's mentioned Noah, and he's mentioned Lot. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then they say this. Matthew says, or Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. And if we've not read our Old Testament, what do we say? We say the same thing that our RI kids say. If I have a child named Luke or Abraham or something like that, and I mention that, they'll say, there's Abraham! Must be that Abraham! No. We won't know who in the world. Remember Lot's wife? Well, who was Lot's wife? So they're assuming that we're going to know, to understand those things. Hebrews 11 gives us lots and lots of people from the Old Testament. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So they went and looked for Enoch. They could not find him. They looked and looked, and they told him that you're not going to find him. So all these people are mentioned. And the New Testament writers are just assuming that we've read the stories, that we're familiar with them. So another reason, besides the fact that the writers assume that we would understand or that we would read the Old Testament, the Bible is one book written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. I have a book in my library called The Unfolding Drama of Redemption by William Scroggie. That book is about that deep, about that big. And it's about, it covers from Old Testament and the New Testament, and it talks about Christ coming and his work. You know what? The Old Testament and the New Testament, they just mesh together. They mesh together. They're totally different. But the Lord said, they are they which testify of me. He said, they are they. They're about him. One writer said this. He said, the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. So the things that we didn't know in the Old Testament, we're saying, oh yeah, that's what that meant. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The number of times it says around his death, this took place that it might be fulfilled, which was written. So it makes sense. And then the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. So the scriptures, they are one. Peter says, you know what? Those that wrote in the Old Testament, they didn't always know exactly what they were writing about. They didn't always know exactly. It says they would write, they would write about Christ's sufferings, but they knew the Messiah was supposed to reign, but they had this part about him suffering. And it says there, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. They wrote Isaiah 53. They wrote Psalm 22. They wrote all these parts about Christ. They didn't understand exactly what they were talking about, but they were the fulfillment of Scripture. In Luke chapter 14, when the Lord sat down, and I reckon you could have heard a pin drop. Do you remember early in Jesus' ministry, he went into the temple, and as it was their habit, they would give someone the scripture to read, and it just so happened that they gave him the scroll to read for the day. It says in that there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And I reckon the people are watching, the people are listening, and you could have heard a pin drop. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now this is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the Old Testament, it ties right in with the New Testament. And then the Old Testament was given for us to learn and grow in faith. The Old Testament was given for us to learn. Romans 15:4, this is a good verse to memorize. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, this is a good one too. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Gave us the Old Testament so that we would learn it. And by patient endurance, by handling whatever came our way, having the comfort of the Scriptures, would have hope. Not running out of hope. And by the way, I hope that's what we have. I hope we're not ever to a point where we feel hopeless, because the Old Testament Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures tell us that the Lord is in control, that there is hope and help in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition. Now, they were murmuring in this context. They were murmuring, and the Lord sent snakes among them, the fiery snakes, after he had warned them not to. And so all of these are examples, and I'm not saying that the Lord will send a fiery snake to you if you murmur, by the way. But these things happen for examples to us, so that we would trust the Lord and not complain against him. And then the last thing tonight, I'm going to put you to sleep a little bit, but not really. The last thing is we miss out on some absolutely amazing stuff when we do not read the Old Testament. We miss out on some absolutely amazing stuff when we do not read the Old Testament. Watch this. So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 6. Going to Numbers chapter 6. And you're saying, how dare you? No, I really am. But I want you to watch. If I started reading this and then I stopped reading, because it's a little bit hard. Watch this. Anybody, any Nazarites here tonight? Any Nazarites? I know the answer to that question. No. Here we go. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offering. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord. With a basket of unleavened bread, the priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave his head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest. With a wave breast and heave shoulder, and after that the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that his hand shall get according to the vow which he vowed, so must he do after the law of his separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, so we've done all that. Okay, you're still with me. I'm glad. Thank you for not getting up and leaving. But watch what we get at the end of this chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now, how can you beat that? And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So there's times where there is some of it that's a little bit hard, or a lot hard to read. But there's things that we can learn in all of it. So, reading God's Word from cover to cover. All Scripture, not just some of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So let's read, let's value God's Word from cover to cover. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you that you've given it to us. Some of it is sometimes hard to read. Some of it's difficult to understand at times. But Lord, you want us reading your Word. So may we value the Old Testament too. And I pray that you'll just help us to grow. Help us to learn. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Pray that you'll use your Word to comfort, to challenge, to change us this week. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just say in closing, if you're a new believer, I would still recommend starting in the New Testament with Matthew and going Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.